You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
Job with Tona Anishna Bemwin. Nuik Jitona, Mampi, Kchi Kno Mage Gamigong, Michigan, We Anken Mageong, Manda Anishna Bemwin.
I'm going to guess that you can't understand what that woman is saying. That's because there's only about 10,000 people or so that speak Anishina Bemwin. You probably don't understand it, but those who speak the native language of the Ojibwe people in the Great Lakes do, like 6,000 other languages around the world. That's according to figures from UNESCO. That language faces extinction by the end of the century, and there are people who are fighting who are determined to see that it doesn't happen. And it turns out that the internet is perhaps a surprising partner in that effort. We're joined now by Gregory Diaz Anderson, who's the director of Living Tongues, which launched these dictionaries, 8 new digital dictionaries, hoping to keep these languages alive. And he joins us from early morning in Oregon. Hi, Greg.
Hello. Good to have you.
And Professor Margaret Norrie also joins us, lecturer in Native American Studies program at the University of Michigan, and she runs a website that collects recordings of Anishina Bemwin. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Also a Native American. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
First of all, how difficult is it to learn something like this particular language? Some of these languages that are going extinct, are they quite complicated and difficult to teach someone?
They are hard to teach, mostly because we don't have the infrastructure, the curriculum, the people using them. We can't tell them just watch a little TV in the language the way you can with some of the other more dominant languages. But once somebody really dedicates the time to it, it's surprisingly easy. I think that's what people don't often realize. They're complex, but if you really want to do it, it's entirely possible.
Well, Gregory, why do this? Why preserve languages? I mean, are we just talking about preserving another way to say pizza? I mean, I'm not trying to be flippant, but is there a reason why we want to keep all these 6,000 languages around?
Well, there is an inherent moral right that everyone has to speak the language that they choose. So there's a human rights issue here, regardless of your opinion about any one language or another. Of course, the intrinsic value of the language to the identity of a community is unassailable. So there are all kinds of arguments in favor, and really only an argument of bias against not allowing them to keep their languages.
Although there are some languages in which we only know of maybe one or two speakers, like Gregory?
That is true. Some languages have eroded to the point where there's just one or two speakers, or even not even one fluent speaker remaining. But that doesn't mean that the community doesn't have the right to try to bring the language back if they would like.
So, Margaret, when you're using these digital technologies, and I understand that they're especially useful with younger people, which makes sense. I mean, young people are on computers all the time. How do you use the internet to teach someone a language, which, you know, so often we're told that in order to really learn a language, you need to go to the country, right? You need to immerse yourself in hearing it.
Well, what you need to do is immerse yourself in the language, and we actually consider this place where we are in the Great Lakes, this is our indigenous language. So you are in the right country, and what you need to do is just find ways to hear and use the language constantly, whether you're making YouTubes of each other, whether you're posting updates on your Facebook, whether you're texting one another. It doesn't have to be something that becomes published in a hard copy book. It can be something that just gets the words out there and in people's mouths.
You know, Margaret, to some extent, I hear other people talking about how some languages are dying out naturally. We can't, the Native American languages are a different case. I mean, would you agree or not? I mean, in many cases, the Native American language were forced to be extinct in some areas.
Right. I think I often get questions from people saying, why do you bother saving this? Isn't it just a matter of, you know, pride or egotism? And I think that really any language, any cultural practice, whether it's ceremony or speech, whatever it might be, it's part of who you are. It's part of your identity. It's part of understanding the world. And certainly the way I speak this is not the way my great-grandmother spoke it or the people generations before her. It's a language, though, that can help me speak about this place that I live in and create space within my contemporary world for some of those ideas and thoughts that are particular to the culture. So we don't necessarily want to keep or try to preserve something from thousands of years ago. We know that's difficult, but we want this language to be part of our life right now in the present.
Well, give me an example of a word or a phrase in Anishina Bemwin that maybe it captures something that the English language, the American language that we speak, does not?
Well, I often use this probably my best example at the University of Michigan, a big institution. I have a lot of students there. Not all of my students are native students. And one of the first things I say is, well, what's the name of your school? Did you know that that's actually the word for a state, but it's actually a word for the Great Lakes water system? We didn't used to call those five lakes by the proper nouns they are now. They weren't Huron, Erie, Superior, etc. The whole water system was called Chigaming, Michigaming. And in that notion, you start to understand even concepts that could impact how you come at climate change. If you think of that water system as one interconnected body, Michigaming, you start thinking differently about the climate, the environment. And so just in that one word, which our nation has preserved as the name of a state, you also have a pretty important scientific concept that our culture brings to the world through our language.
Gregory D.S. Anderson is the director of Living Tongues, and he's also with us. You've launched these digital dictionaries, but they don't come close to the 6,000 languages that are endangered. Is it just a matter of there's only so many that we can save, Gregory?
Well, that currently is actually the reality, but we're hoping to recruit a lot of younger people who would still have the ability to make an impact on this issue going into the next few decades. So the situation right now is there aren't that many people who can do it or have the training or equipment to do it. There's a lot of desire among communities. So I think that if we can unite the desire with the technology, that will make a lot greater strides towards getting this on a global issue.
And you can check them out. There are 8 digital dictionaries hoping to preserve dying languages. That's Gregory D.S. Anderson, director of Living Tongues. Also with us, Professor Margaret Noory, a lecturer in the Native American Studies program at the University of Michigan. She also runs a website that collects recordings of Anishinaabemowin speakers. And this is Margaret singing here in Anishinaabemowin. Thanks to both of you. Min obim adzi young, min obim adzi young, oh hey, ah hey, oh. Nijwa sing shkode gi bod wad way wat. Bo chigon ish na bem young, min obim adzi young, min.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.